Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 16th of April, 2021, in which we're going to be talking about CNN admitting they are a bunch of race grifters, the subversion that's going on in the British government, in which people are trying to undermine the fact that we banned all of the diversity nonsense. God bless Kemi Badenoch. We'll be talking about that. And you're also going to be talking about, what is it, the Indian... situation in The Simpsons, in which
Hank Azaria and his date with Destiny, which I mean it happened a few days ago, but it was just, it's insufferable, and so I thought it was worth talking about, and I just kind of want to rub it in.
Yeah,
call Hank Azaria a racist
because
tell him that he's a bad person. He's been a bad person for the last 30 years. In fact, it turns out he had no idea up until right now. But anyway, we'll get into it later.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple of things I wanted to mention beforehand. So again, because I'm going to keep plugging this until we get there, goddammit, is the Section 127 repeal petition we have set up. So get rid of Section 127 in the Communications Act 2003. This is the petition we have to get rid of the act which makes it illegal to post anything grossly offensive online, which is the reason for the Count Dankula case, so on and so forth. People, I think, know at this point. But share it, send it to content creators, make sure they tweet it out, put it in the videos, do something about it, because we want to get this to at least 10,000, hopefully 100,000 signatures, because then we, at 10,000, we get a response, at 100,000, we get a debate in Parliament, which needs to be had, because this is trash. This needs to go.
Yeah.
So the last thing I wanted to mention was also the premium content we have on lotuseaters.com, which we have plenty of. You're going to be doing a premium podcast with Josh later about the Hunter Biden stuff, right?
Yeah, so me and Josh, after this episode of the podcast, are going to record a premium podcast, because Josh has spent a long time putting together basically all of the Hunter Biden stuff, and we're going to go through the tragedy and the farce of Hunter Biden's life and how this ties in with politics and morality and various other things, and I think it's going to be very interesting.
Well, I'm interested in there as well. Do you remember, what was it, like NPR or whatever, when the first New York Post story came out about Hunter Biden, they said, we're not going to waste our time on nonsense stories because there's no fact to it. Now what?
Well, it turns out there's loads of fact to it.
Yeah, I mean, there always was. It was just political. They didn't want to get involved.
Yeah,
it's absolutely just transparent, and it'd be good to go back and show that. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. So we've been covering Project Veritas, various leaks about CNN, because they managed to catfish a technical director from CNN, who apparently went on a Tinder date with Project Veritas's journalists and just spilled the beans, like, big time. And a few of these have been pretty good. I mean, them admitting that they are fake news, admitting that they just give you manipulative data, or...
We're literally propagandists.
We are literally propagandists, their words. It's like, okay, well, that's one thing. Turns out they went even further than that. And God bless Project Veritas for their work on this. They now admit that they are literally race grifters. That the entire network is one in which only sees things through the lens of race in a particular way, and never through the lens of what is actually happening. That you take the facts that you want to, any of the facts that are inconvenient, crime statistics,
twist them in a racial way, and then present them to the public to inflame the race war.
Yeah, which is why, for example, everyone thinks that the anti-Asian hate stuff is about white people disproportionately targeting Asians, or that most mass shooters are white people just hating people. The data doesn't show that, but didn't matter to CNN. And what's interesting is they know. They've always known, and they don't care. So let's play the first clip here, in which they're talking about the anti-Asian hate stuff, and he admits that, yeah, we will just do anything to help BLM, including denying reality. Let's play.
I was trying to do some research on, like, the Asian hate, like, you know, the people are getting attacked on. A bunch of black men that have been attacking Asian. So I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we're trying to, like, help, like, with the BLM, and, like, we're gonna, like, I mean, it's individuals, it's not a people, you know? That's not good. The optics of that are not good. These little things like that are enough to set back movements, you know, because the far left will start to latch on and create a story of, like, criminalizing an entire people, you know, just easier headlines that way, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
So you're saying that the far left would label a whole genre of people? I kind of miss your point.
The conservatives, I'm sorry, not the far left. But I've noticed that, like, you'll get headlines that, you know, might lump people together, as opposed to focusing on the individual. I mean, that's what Trump ended up doing with, like, the China virus.
And this guy's incoherent.
He's all over. He put so much flame on an entire group of people as opposed to, you know, a few careless individuals.
Right.
I don't think he's incoherent because of he's drinking too much or something like that. I think it honestly is just the worldview of Democratic left-wing people in the United States that they have no idea how to talk about such but issues. I mean, it makes sense.
Okay, so we're trying to help Black Lives Matter. Gotcha, we figured that. And a bunch of black people have been attacking Asians. Previously, black people have been attacking Jews in New York.
Disproportionately.
Disproportionately. And they don't know how to handle it because it looks bad for Black Lives Matter. It'll set the movement back, as he says.
Yeah. Right. But the problem with that is we need to look at them as individuals, not groups, to try and help Black Lives Matter, a group which he sees as a racial group of just black people.
Yeah. So, no wonder he sounds so confused.
Yeah,
he's fighting
yeah.
against his own worldview.
He clearly has no idea what he's even thinking. It's really strange, but it is always good, as I say, to get an admission that CNN openly admit they are a Black Lives Matter propagandist organization. Yep. And if there is a fact, in this example, of black people disproportionately being the perpetrators of hate crimes against Asians, then they will bury that fact because it's inconvenient for the narrative. It doesn't help them push their agenda.
Well, or they'll reframe it so it's the consequence of white supremacy.
Yeah, they definitely will. Which is why, in the next clip we're going to show, is him talking about white shooters. So, let's play.
But is it normal for the media to, like... So, say there's a white shooter, black shooter. Which one are we going to, you know, like...
Yeah, for the longest while, like, the story was, like, people were, like, lapping up that it was, like, you know, white guys for, like, so long. I haven't seen anything about focusing on the color of people's skin that aren't white. They just aren't saying anything. You know what I mean? They're just not... All of a sudden, that story... loses a little steam and they just like leave it be.
Why?
I don't know. I think I it's got to be trends, like what people will latch on to, you know?
I can't believe how stupid he sounds.
Yeah, it is weird. But he's just openly admitting there that if you have a black or a white mass shooting taking place,
yeah.
Well, when the white is shooting, there's some steam in that story. We can run that and get something out of it. But if it's a non-white person, so like the Syrian, for example, yeah. or the recent guy who tried to attack the Capitol, mm-hmm. who was a Nation of Islam inspired. You notice how those stories just disappear every mm-hmm. time that they happen. This is why he's openly admitting the reason the mainstream media buries them is they don't think there's any steam in them. They don't think there's anything they can push politically. So they're not interested. I mean, that's how it works. And again, I mean, I imagine most of our audience have known this for a long time.
Yeah.
But as I say, it's always great to get admission from the horse's mouth, something we can point to if anyone ever asks again, oh, you're just spouting nonsense. Well, is the technical director of CNN spouting nonsense when he says, yes, CNN focus on white shooters? You tell me. Mm-hmm. And this is backed up by the evidence, as we've mentioned, which is that if you just look up the number of mass shootings in the United States, I mean, most collections of data like this will show that, yeah, the majority of shooters are white, but the majority of Americans are white. It's the percentages that matter, because that's how... you tell if it's underrepresented or overrepresented.
So and despite being 13% of the population, black people are 21% of the mass shooters.
Whereas Americans are about 70, 74, whatever the percentage is, of whites, whereas 66% of mass shootings. So they're underrepresented. Black mass shooters, overrepresented, but not in the news. Because as he says, news organizations like CNN don't see any steam in that story. There's no, as he says, I haven't seen any focusing on people's skin who aren't white. When it's a non-white shooter, cut that. But if it's a white shooter, play that up. It's a symptom of white supremacy. Got to be every time.
Hmm.
And then the last clip we're going to play here is just him saying how these sort of things work. So if you have a story, so let's take a white mass shooting, for example, and then the mass shooting where the perpetrator was white, you focus on that story to push your agenda. And he gives an example of Fox here. But it's him admitting that, yeah, that's how we operate. We just find a story that we want to push, and we just push it and push it and push it. Because it lines up with our agenda, not because it's important, not because it's news, but because we just want it to be the case. Let's play.
You're telling Michelle, you're telling me, you're saying like how media is the greatest weapon.
Yeah.
Where were you going to go with that?
I mean, it's just propaganda, like it can really... Sorry, my chime just went off.
What do you mean by chime?
Like, you can shape an entire people's perception about anything on how you do it, right? Like,
how do you do that?
Just by, like, forcing a story to help, like, your platform, you know? Like, you can all of a sudden say, like, coal is the future of, like, energy. Well, that could be propaganda because, like, who owns the company might have stake in, like, coal mining. So, like Trump getting blasted all over, like, constant feeds of, like, Twitter and Fox giving him a platform is what fueled that fire, you know?
So he's given an example there of if Trump says coal's the future, then this is him being paid off by the coal industry. But, of course, this is CNN speaking. I mean, CNN, the guys who mostly peaceful has been attributed to, because when they go to a BLM riot and everything's on fire, they just say, "Ah, mostly peaceful protest," even though I can choke on the smoke that's coming out of this burning building.
Yeah,
and it's just so embarrassing that they can say this and not, I mean, him there, not even understanding his own position in multiple clips. But okay,
I mean,
great.
He must be having a hell of a day in the office.
I don't know how he's still got
come
a job.
Out, and he's just like, "Yeah, so you said that to some girl on a date and she was recording you. You made us all look bad."
What's interesting is from the clips, you can see James O'Keefe has run into a couple of other directors and he's trying to ask them questions. And of course, CNN being the people that they are, didn't answer any of them, just told them to go away. Mm-hmm. And they haven't issued any response whatsoever. Just nada. It's like radio silence. Ignore this is going on. But you can't ignore that it's going on because everyone
Fox
can see what's
News
going
is
on here.
Promoting it everywhere.
Yeah, like when James O'Keefe first did the first clip, he went on Fox News with Sean Hannity and he was like, "Hey, can I come on every day? Every time I keep leaking something," and he was like, "Sure, why not? Great. I mean, okay." But there has been...
You're destroying our competition. That'd be great.
Yeah. So there has been one response, though, which I didn't predict, but I mean, we probably should have, which is that James O'Keefe's now been banned from Twitter permanently. Interesting, isn't it? All of a sudden, he's releasing all the stuff that's discrediting CNN and then gone. And you might think that this is a long time coming, but you remember, I think it was the last leaks they did on Twitter. All of a sudden, the Project Veritas account got suspended and James O'Keefe. And then James O'Keefe was able to go back into his account for posting exactly the same piece of information, but the Project Veritas one was gone permanently. So they clearly just forgot that he had a personal one. And now his personal one is gone because he's embarrassing their friends at CNN. And one of the things is, this is just so you can show his account. This is personal account, not Project Veritas. Gone permanently. It's gone. And some people have tried to point out, well, maybe he broke some of the rules and there would be a reasonable argument here to some extent, I think. So if we can get the first image up, this should be someone showing his last tweets, his final tweets before he was gone. And what he's showing off here, I've censored it a little bit more, so you can see the little red that I've censored there. That's because he believes some journo was trying to get information out of Project Veritas by pretending to be someone who worked for them. Fair. I mean, that's the kind of organization, you know, this is the modus operandi that you try and do. But he calls him out on Twitter, shows, you know, the end digits of his mobile number to say, "We know that you're obviously a liar, and here's the evidence." And the response from the journal was, "No, James." Just no. It's like, but we have both of your numbers, and we know it's you. So what? Just no admittance. Just, "Nah, I wasn't doing that." I was like, "But we have the numbers." Anyway, so he tweeted this out, and you could argue, well, this is some form of doxing or releasing of personal information because there's part of a phone number there and it's publicly. And that would have been what I expected Twitter to argue, that, well, he's going to go because he put that piece of information there. Turns out not. Turns out they're fine with this, so it's not that, in case people are wondering. Mm-hmm. If we can just go to the journo's account, just so you can see, he's all of a sudden locked his account.
Ooh.
Writer and editor, seen in The New Republic, Verge, Motherboard, Politico, Colonel Mag, Vice. Yeah, okay. You get the picture.
Yeah.
And interesting that you locked your account. But I still love the idea that it's sort of like he's trying to catfish Project Veritas, and Project Veritas like, no. Project Veritas catfishes you. You're not a project. You're going to catfish us. But the next image I want to show was the permanent suspension from Twitter. So this is James O'Keefe released this screenshot. Is not because he released any personal information, but instead because he operates fake accounts. So you may not register or create fake and misleading accounts or use multiple accounts to manipulate Twitter conversations. What?
Prove that he did.
There's no information that he has. Twitter haven't released any. They've just decided to silence this journalist who was embarrassing their friends with a claim that seems to make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, but this is the point. The mask is off. If they can just deplatform Trump for telling people not for, you know, for telling people not to do something while they're claiming that he told them to do something, then really all of the rules that were in place traditionally and, you know, have been inherited from the concept of a civil society are actually gone. And now we're living in the kind of post era where the leftist mask is there and it's barely a pretense.
Yeah.
It's just a pretense. It's look, you're here at our pleasure and there's no amount of fairness that you can appeal to. You can't expect the rules to be applied to you in good faith. And this is what will happen. We'll just say you had a fake account. We'll say that Lord Voldemort had called for the beheading of the followers of Muhammad. Things like this. It's like, well, where's the
evidence?
Yeah, where's the evidence of any of this? There is none. Shut up. Deplatform you next. And there were various links about this that weren't allowed to be shared on Facebook, weren't there?
Yeah, so I saw people trying to share some links on Facebook, and Facebook were just like, nope, can't share that link. Why?
Yeah, it was a New York Post article, just like they had done with the Hunter Biden story on Twitter. So this particular link, you couldn't share. So.
And it's the same with any BitChute link you try and share on Twitter, for example. You used to get a warning to try and dissuade you from clicking on it, now it won't even post it. Yes, yeah. It's got dangerous information on
there. Yeah, so I mean, if you want to actually hear the other side of the story, you're going to have to go to alt tech, aren't you?
Yeah, as you say, I mean, we know about Twitter with Donald Trump being the best example.
Yeah.
But just even journalists who release clips of information that embarrass their friends, gone.
Yep.
Look forward to every other journalist. As soon as you upset the train you were on, you're going under the train.
Yeah, I mean, the neo-reactionaries use the term the cathedral, sort of the cathedral of wokeism or leftism, to describe the phenomenon. And it's definitely a real thing, where there is a mission that connects all of these institutions, the Democrats, CNN, Silicon Valley, and you can see how they move to protect the other organs of the institution. And this is an example of that happening in real time.
I do like that term. I was thinking whether or not to use the party, whether that's better or not.
It's essentially the same thing.
I know, but I do wonder if it's easier to understand, but yeah, not a conversation, I guess.
The cathedral seems a bit more piercing, to be honest, because it's got a religious aspect to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely got a religious aspect.
Yeah.
There's true belief involved.
So the last thing to mention here is that in response to him getting this message of Twitter accusing him of operating fake accounts, presumably Twitter will then send out to any journal who asked them why was he deleted, he made fake accounts, blah, blah, blah. So James is suing Twitter for defamation. That's what he said. Because he's like, look, you're saying I operate fake accounts, I'm a public actor, I'm a well-known journalist, this is defamatory to my character, therefore I'm going to sue you for it. Mm-hmm. And if they've got no evidence, good. Good. And it's the same with Lord Voldemort, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook claimed to the BBC in an interview that he had paid posts calling for the beheading of Muslims. And when asked about that screenshot a year later on Danish TV, Facebook admitted it didn't exist. That post didn't exist. It does not exist anywhere.
Yeah.
And yet they gave an interview to the BBC saying that's what happened.
I mean, they've accused him of criminal activity because encouraging people, inciting people to behead Muslims would very clearly be a crime in this country. And so...
serious one as well.
A very serious one. And given the high-profile nature of Lord Voldemort, why would we think that this wouldn't be on every news station everywhere? And that
They gave a private interview to BBC saying that was the case.
And then it would have been a massive national scandal.
Exactly. And then The Guardian repeated it, and then so on and so forth. So you can't blame those outlets, but we can blame Facebook for just openly lying. And if they're willing to do that to him, why would they not be willing to do that to anyone else?
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
That's the point. They can just... And then we actually arrive in INGSOC territory, where we can now falsify records, falsify the past, falsify entire people, probably, by the end of it. And is that the world we want to live in? I'd like there to be a world where there was some objective truth.
But what's interesting as well is Project Veritas does have more people within Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it. Mm. They've done leaks on them in the past. But of course, they've still got people in there.
Yeah.
So any action you take against them, I do wonder if it's because they found out they've been stung. So.
Well, probably.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the update on Project Veritas. They're still going to release more stuff, and I'm kind of liking the format, just every single day, something new. But admitting you are a race grifter who ignores every piece of information if it doesn't suit your narrative, stunning and brave CNN, I guess.
I mean, the CNN revelations, they're not telling us anything we didn't already know about CNN by just observing their behavior.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that it's conscious from within, because, I mean...
The way they talk...
Well, yeah, but the defense is, well, maybe they're just stupid. Maybe they don't realize that they're doing these things. Maybe they do these things, you know, from impulse rather than from reason. But it turns out that their technical director is like, no, we do these things consciously, deliberately, and with purpose.
Yeah. Willingly don't deceitful.
Don't want to make Black Lives Matter look bad just because a bunch of Asians are getting beaten up and worse by black people on the street.
Doesn't suit the narrative.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. The other thing I want to talk about real quick was just an article we got an exclusive on. So very, very happy to the guy who sent this in. Can't name him, obviously, because he wishes to be remained anonymous. But thank you for speaking out, because this is the kind of heroes we need, which is sending out information of... I don't even know if this is illegal. I think it might actually be illegal what's going on here. So the preamble, Kenny Badenoch, the Lord Emperor, sorry, the Undersecretary for Equalities within the Conservative Party, who is doing a great job at just smashing down anything intersectional, anything neo-socialist, just like, nope, get out, not interested. She and her and Liz Truss have been destroying a lot of things, and one of them was unconscious bias training. Mm-hmm. So this Phaeton measuring of how racist you are by, we show you some images and then you say if this reminds you of a good or bad thing, and so on and so forth. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of tests. All of them are reliably now bunk, like proven bunk. So it is about as knowledgeable as witch dunking to find out whether or not you're a racist. So absolutely no use to it. So in response, Kenny Badenoch decided, well, let's get rid of it. Stop funding it. Let's defund leftism. Mm-hmm. Good. It's actually nice to see that. It's refreshing. So this is back in December, in which they say that it was going to be scrapped. And then before this, she gave an interview to The Independent, which I'm going to get to, because there's just some great quotes from her in here, in which she's leading up to it being scrapped. So she says that unconscious bias training should be removed from the civil service. We can get the next one, John. And she, Kemi Badenoch, who is herself of Nigerian background, said that some prominent supporters of critical race theory want to create a segregated society.
Well, she's hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what they want.
Yeah. In the response from them, they did get a quote from one of the critical race theory proponents who was like, no, I don't want segregation. It was like, yeah, but all your work calls for it. So why should I believe you?
You literally end up segregating people because of race. I don't know why you say you don't.
I mean, you're the people demanding that cultural appropriation is something evil, because how dare the cultures mix?
Yeah.
It's like, never mind the race part. You haven't even got to that. I mean, your views on racial mixing as well are well known. I mean, among your types.
It just keeps happening.
Anyway, so they continue with this interview. I love Kevi. She's such a great... Minister. Miss Badenoch sparked controversy earlier this year by saying that the UK was one of the best countries in the world to be black, and this week warned that teaching the concept of white privilege as a fact in schools, Black History Month lessons would also be illegal.
But what are you going to do? Tell this black woman that her lived experience is not valid? You know, I live in the UK and I think it's one of the best countries in the world in which you can be black, and therefore, and they'd be like, no.
But it's also just name the country then.
Yeah.
China. Oh, no.
But by their own standards. If the standard is purely lived experience, and she's saying, well, my lived experience is the best country, and I'm the one in government, so shut up, and we're going to do as I say. I mean, what could their argument be?
There isn't one, really.
Yeah.
So she had the point there of making white privilege teaching it as a fact to school children illegal, which is just great. Mm. Like, it's evil to teach young white kids that they are privileged for having white skin and therefore oppressors and so on and so forth, and they're evil people for existing as white.
The best part about this is the black woman in charge is going to explain why you don't have to be white to get ahead in Britain.
Yeah.
Done.
I mean, you would think this would have been done a long time ago, but apparently
the very nature of the thing we're describing proves her point.
So also Black History Month lessons being illegal in schools, because, I mean, this is a perfect example of what she was talking about, of the segregation.
Yeah.
I mean, saying that there is a month in which we will have black people's history, and then all the rest of it is white people's history, or, you know, non-black people's history. I mean, it sounds like segregation. I mean, it's one of the interesting things. I've seen Dawn Butler criticize Black History Month, because she's a Labour Party MP, quite radical. And even she's like, no, this is terrible. Why are we segregating off black people into a separate month?
Because you're woke, that's why.
Exactly. She's like, no, black history is British history. Why are you putting me in a month? It's like, well,
I agree.
You asked for the bullet. So this is what you get. You get segregated history. Tell me why that's not segregation. So she continues. I'd go further and say this. That is the best country for black people. I've lived in the US. I've lived in Nigeria. So I feel like I've got some context to compare. I look at South Africa and I look around Europe and ask, are those places better to be black than in the UK? I don't think so. Prove her wrong.
How could it be done?
Can't be done. So she also asked about guidance issued by the Victorian Albert Museum suggesting that the term black be covered by people who experience racism because of the color of their skin. So if you experience racism, you black.
But if you don't experience racism, then you're not black.
Yeah.
So if Kemi has not experienced any racism, she's no longer black.
I'm glad to, again, be made black. Caribbean food, been discriminated by the state for the skin color. I'm double black now, I guess. So she says in here, this is to politicize my skin color. The logical conclusion of what they're saying is that people in Africa who are not discriminated against on the basis of their race are not really black. You ain't black, again, yeah. I just love how she's on the wavelength. She understands everything that's going on. That's why I like her so much.
I'm just thinking of all the South African parties, like the EFF, who run around going, you know, kill the white man, kill the Boer. And it's like, well, who's the black man then? Not you.
Like, you have, what is it?
You've become the white man.
Black economic empowerment, or whatever they call it there, which is just discrimination in favor of blacks, in which case, they're all white now. So, oof. So she continues. It is associating being black with negativity, oppression, and victimhood in an inescapable way. It's creating a prison for black people.
Completely correct.
Completely correct.
It's not even that. It's creating a category of person where the term black is actually not connected to skin color or anything like that anymore. It's connected to, as she says, the oppression and victimhood that becomes inescapable. And it turns out that non-black people can become black by making them victims.
I mean, you would have thought you would have seen this coming. This is a long history within British politics, which we looked into this when we were looking at the term BAME and its history, that there was the argument from like the 60s or the 50s, the Windrush, that black people are discriminated against in Britain, therefore they're a special class. And then there were more groups who weren't black but had brown skin.
Yep.
So then they came up with the term politically black to represent them all.
Right.
So it just became, if you oppressed, you black. And then what happens when things change and all of a sudden...
Now the white working class is oppressed, and the African Nigerian minister is sat there going, listen, the black working class, those black people all across the UK,
the 74% of the population are now black, and what is it, like 3% are now white,
and we, the white government,
like me as a white woman, Kenny Bain knock.
Like, why does it have to be this way?
I didn't know the Irish were always black, but now we know, I guess. So this is why I like Kemi Badenoch. She's the only one talking sense. So this is the exclusive we got, which is someone in the civil service sent us.
So hang on. No blacks, no Irish is just...
it's a synonym.
It's just a repetition. Yeah.
Yes.
It's unnecessary. Right, okay.
That's the brave new world we live in. So the civil service, under her orders... banned implicit bias training, unconscionable bias training, blah, 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 blah. All this stuff to go because it was obvious nonsense. And turns out the snakes within this these organizations obviously don't want to give up the grift. Yeah. And they can't really do it on the basis of the names they used to use. So they just renamed it anti-racism training. So there you go. That's a new product. Completely different.
Same dog whistle. Anti-racism is a dog whistle for radical left-wing identity politics.
So I'm not going to read every part of this article because people should go over to lotusears.com and read it because Josh done a really good work at laying it all out, but I'm going to read some of it here. So it says that an unnamed civil servant working for a government department has provided lotusears.com with a document from mandatory anti-racism training session for the civil service. So this is mandatory. If you're in the department he's in, and I presume other departments because there's never just one department usually, then you will have to take this training. And this is the training which was declared illegal by the state for being stupid and a waste of your time, and evil, because it teaches you that you are evil for being white. I mean, I can't think of any better reason to stop funding this stuff, but I guess the grift never dies. So I wanted to get some images up, just to have a laugh at this, because it is really stupid. Like, it's not even just that it's you know, obviously backwards, but really dumb. So if we can get the first image up, image 4. So here we go. Activity 2, check your privilege.
God, it's like 2012 Tumblr.
I know, right? It's so pathetic.
But this is what I was saying, right? This is what I was saying the whole time. It's from word go, I could see that the logic of what they're doing is essentially irresistible to the people who are going to have to stand against it. And so it will just continue conquering every institution until eventually it's literally the UK government that's like, check your privilege.
It's just on college campuses, guys. It's just on Tumblr.
It's just on Tumblr. Yeah, exactly. No, it's just bedroom feminists. No.
It's just the British government. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just the American army. You know, don't worry about it. Like, no.
Like, what do we have to wait for?
Yeah, exactly. Where can it go from this point onwards?
Oh, man. You know? It's only happening to 30% of the population. I don't know.
But, okay, hang on a second.
So, instructions. Raise both palms with your fingers showing, right? Okay, how many fingers have you got?
Okay, 10.
Sounds like a stupid question, but this will come important later.
I had to think about it for a second. How many fingers do I have?
Listen to the questions delivered by your facilitator. Of course, weird language, because communists always think like this.
Yeah.
Every time you have experienced one of the statements, put a finger down. So you've got 10 fingers, right? Okay, and at the end, we're going to look at how many fingers you have left standing.
Right.
So let's go to the next image. You can see here, there are 13 questions.
Right, okay. So one, put a finger down if you've been called a racial slur. Yes, I've been called a gammon. Put a finger down if you've been followed in a store unnecessarily. Yes, I was in my 20s when I was in university, and a bunch of us went to a 24-hour Tesco's when we were stoned out of our gourds. And I considered it unnecessary that they followed us around because we weren't thieves. Put a finger down if someone has crossed the street to avoid passing you. Yes, women do occasionally. Put a finger down if you have had someone clench their person in an elevator with you. I can't say I ever remember that happening. Put a finger down if you've had someone step off an elevator to keep from riding with you.
How would you know?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, literally the elevator stops, they get off.
No, actually that has happened to me just in a hotel, you know, when it's like you, because when you're traveling, like, you know, I've done it to people. Like, they've either smelled weird or I've been like, this guy's a bit. Like, because he's been drunk or something, and it's like...
Yeah, but how would you know? Like, they pressed the button and then they pressed another button or something?
Well,
what
I
do you
don't
mean?
Know, but you just get the impression because they give you a side
anyway,
up,
right? So you're on six fingers.
Right, yeah, so on six fingers. So put a finger down if you've been accused of not being able to afford something expensive. Yeah, by my dad. Put a finger down if you've had a fear in your heart when being stopped by the police. Yeah, because I was properly raised. Put a finger down if you've never been to a golf or country club with your family. Okay. Don't come from the upper class. Put a finger down if you've been stopped or detained by the police for no valid reason. Well, no, I've not been stopped or detained by the police. Put a finger down if you didn't grow up in a two-parent household, okay? Put a finger down if you have been bullied because of your race. Well, racism wasn't really, you know, something that happened to me when I was a kid, but I imagine now there are lots of people who have been bullied by their race, you know, for various races. Put a finger down. Hang on, how many fingers am I supposed to have here? Put a finger down if you've been denied service solely because of the colour of your skin. I suppose if I appealed to the BBC for a job, I'd get that. Put a finger down if you've ever had to teach your children how not to get killed by the police. Well, what parent doesn't do that?
Okay. So you got one finger.
Hey, that's my privilege.
Any fingers left? That's privilege. I love how it's not even specified. It's not even like a rating score of like you've got all 10 or
no,
whatever.
You just have
any,
privilege.
Any.
No.
You privileged.
Okay.
So unless you have 0 to -3, presumably, I don't know, unless you're Cornish or something, then then you privileged, boy. I just can't go over how pathetic this is.
Thumbs up, privilege.
This is what the civil service has to go through, and it must be horrible. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the next one here is some of the things they list here. So activity 6, what could you be accused of? And then there's a bunch of lists of like things.
Your performances hindicators.
Yeah, made up word.
Yeah. Make you more prone to particular behaviours, and this in turn can make you more susceptible to certain accusations. Read the options below and identify any possible ones. Right, so being purposely offensive, insulting, or displaying explicit racism using racial slurs. Yeah, I can be accused of that. Misinterpreting what I said and trying to convert into something I didn't mean or didn't say or do. Yeah, I've been accused of that. Complacency, sitting there knowingly letting racism happen and do nothing. I've been accused of that. Complicity, benefiting from or racism or being unaware or not. Okay, yeah. Passive systemic racism. So this is just a way of saying you sat in the chair are guilty of all of this.
Yes.
Because anyone could be guilty of any of this at any time. Cultural appropriation.
There's also two in there I want to particularly stock on. So cultural appropriation. I mean, the state is asking the civil service workers whether or not they're guilty of cultural appropriation. I mean, you're kidding me. I mean, literally the whole... culture shouldn't mix because it's Untermensch position is the position of the state.
Well, it's the position of the Nazi state. I mean,
well, it's also the position of the progressives who are pushing this upon our government.
But I like the way that in the bottom left there, negative prejudice behavior based on race. So actual racism. We have a definition of actual racism right there.
Hmm. But there's also the one just to the right of that. Selling out to benefit yourself while other people suffer. That is literally just code for leftists wanting to call you a house N. I mean, that is what this person writing this is saying. Like, if you've been accused of being a house N, well, then you racist. It's like, okay.
You are a bigot. Your behavior is bigoted and purposely you are intolerant, intending to offend, harm, and marginalize. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just...
Only on the weekends, though, for
like,
a joke.
Like, loads of this stupid, but I just can't get over those two there, because, I mean, that the one to the right is literally the BLM lady we spoke about, where she was just like, the guys who wrote the race report, they're all a bunch of house ends. Her words, not mine.
Could I be accused of active systemic racism, abusing my privilege knowingly to wield power? Yes. Power.
I think you're taking too much pride in that. And then cultural appropriation. I love the
complacency. Sitting there knowingly letting racism happen and doing nothing. Oh, God, I'm knowingly letting racism happen and I'm literally doing nothing at all. So, enough about South Africa.
Yeah, so that's one of them. And then there's the next one in which they give you a whole bunch of examples. Now, don't read these because I don't want to read all of their fan fiction, but here's examples of what their definitions mean. I just want to read one of them here in which it's negatively stereotyped. They all eat chicken all the time. Steve and the rest of them. Maybe we should cook chicken when they come over. Well, the thing I had to read that out for is because it's literally the position of the BBC's head of diversity and inclusion.
This is why Idris Elba's about to get cancelled, because he doesn't eat enough chicken.
I mean, literally, the head of the BBC, if you didn't see the segment we did yesterday, head of inclusion and diversity was like, this black character can't be real because he doesn't eat enough Caribbean food. And then the civil service here is listing that as an act of racism. So it's like, okay. Okay. I suppose so.
I mean, I agree that the head of the BBC diversity and inclusion area is probably inherently racist.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, she genuinely seems racist to me.
Because she was just like, if you're not black, if you haven't eaten Caribbean food, which means that the subsequent is also true, if you've eaten Caribbean food, congratulations, you black. There's a bunch of others
in here.
You're
not having any black friends. Imagine if, like, right, so now I have to go and find a black person and persuade them to be my friend. Like, okay, well...
Like, look, you live in a Cornish town in which you're the only black guy.
Do you want to hang out? No, I think you're a dick. It's like, oh, man, but I really need a black friend or else they're going to call me racist. Like, come on, help me out. No, you're a dick. Fuck off.
Yeah, and then there's a whole bunch of others in here, but I just can't get over how someone would write like this as well. Like, of all the examples you could have used, you can see some of the censored parts there. It's just like, really? Really, this is how the progressives think. Okay, I suppose so. And then the last bit here, the last image I wanted to show was just the further reading they have, in which they also have here further training, implicit bias and anti-racism action accreditation. So the thing that is banned, I mean, the guy writing this who's handing it out to the civil service is openly admitting that, yes, we will also now give you the thing that is banned.
Recommended reading. Me and white supremacy.
Yeah. I mean, this is the usual garbage. But this is one of the problems I have also when we criticize...
I can't believe that Mein Kampf isn't on there, to be honest. I'm just surprised.
Well, there is that essay. I mean, who was it? The hoax. So there was a hoax in which people wrote papers.
Peter Boghossian, James Lindsay, and Helen Pluckrose.
Yeah, so they wrote a bunch of academic papers. And they were like, right, how can we mess with them?
Yeah.
So they took Mein Kampf, I think it was the section on education.
Gave it a feminist rewriting.
But Hitler's like trying to convince the world that we should convince people to be Nazis through education. Hmm. And they just took the section and renamed all the certain words with like intersectionality, feminism, blah, 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 and then submitted it and it got published in an actual journal. Oh, yeah. It was like...
Sterling idea.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with this?
Hmm.
Good question.
Austrians.
The Austrian school of feminism.
Literally feminazis. Oh, man.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, I'm this is one of the things where I'm kind of like annoyed a bit, because it's like this shouldn't be happening in government, but you can't actually blame the government at all, because I mean, Kemi and Liz Truss did explicitly ban this stuff. So whoever are the snakes that are still promoting this thing, they need to be kicked out. They need to be, you know, blacklisted by the state because they are engaging in something that is explicitly banned. And if Kemi is watching this, there you go. Have at them. Find out who's done that and get rid of them. But that's that. That's all I wanted to say on that. So tell me about the Simpsons and how anyone who voices a character that is not them is some kind of bigot.
Well, this has been a long time coming, excuse me, for the Simpsons. Not in like normal terms, as in this is something that people have been talking about for a long time. But for a long time, the left has been chipping away at the cultural edifice that is the Simpsons. And for the past couple of years, they've been like guilt tripping. And then in 2017, this Indian chap made a documentary about Apu, the shopkeeper, saying Apu has been oppressing me for my whole life and I hate it. And it's like, okay, that's nice. And so we come to recently, this week, when Hank Azaria, who is a very talented voice actor who does a bunch of different accents and voices for The Simpsons and has done since 1989, came out and was like, you know what? You're right. I am evil. It's like, okay, Hank, that's a weird admission. Most people don't look at the last 30 years of their life and be like, Christ, I'm just like Hitler. But there we go. Hank Azaria has arrived at that point because of wokeism.
And this is all for voicing Apu.
Or, yeah.
So because, because he did a voice that wasn't him. Yeah. He's an evil man.
Yes. But no, more importantly, he did a voice that wasn't white.
Oh.
That's the problem. Now, the Simpsons has, like, you know, a collection of voice actors and actresses who all do different voices for different characters, right? So they don't just do one voice because all the characters got bit parts, basically. I think he does the... Is he... Homer, no, it's a different guy who does Homer Simpson.
The thing on my mind is it the late... So the late, there's a lady who does Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
Like, is she engaging in sexism when she does that?
By this logic, yeah.
I want my reparations.
Exactly. But the point is, you've got, you know, a cast of voice actors. They do lots of different characters because they're all talented people and they're funny. And that has been labeled a progressive hate crime. So Hank Azaria has decided to apologize to, quote, every single Indian person. Should have asked Ranveer if he accepted the apology, really, shouldn't I? Oh. Hank's apologized to him.
He apologized to, I mean, even the people who didn't see it.
Do you think there's a single Indian who doesn't know who Apu is? Don't you know who he is? He's a voice actor on TV, damn it. You know? But I love the way The Guardian point this out. Azaria, who is white, voiced the role of Indian American shopkeeper from the show's inception in 1989, but stood down last year amid criticism of racial stereotyping. Thing is, if The Guardian didn't tell you, you wouldn't know because no one watches The Simpsons anymore. He said he'd be willing to be held accountable for its negative consequences. The negative consequences of him being a voice actor on The Simpsons.
I mean, how many did he kill?
I don't know.
Surely countless.
Well, I mean, we don't have an exact number. we place the estimates in the noughts. That is zero. Speaking on Monday on a podcast, he said that he believed that the show was founded on good intentions, but contributed to the structural racism of the United States. I always knew. I knew that The Simpsons was the pillar of white supremacy in America. Because that's literally what he's saying. The Simpsons contributed to structural racism in America. It wasn't segregation. It wasn't slavery. It wasn't the KKK. It wasn't like the Democratic Party, right? No, it was The Simpsons.
It was The Simpsons the whole time.
Now, if we could just get rid of The Simpsons. This is the logic. If we just get rid of The Simpsons, then we'll have reduced the structural racism in the United States. It's just so stupid. He said it had taken him some time to realize that his portrayal of Apu was offensive to the Indian American community, probably because most of them didn't care. I really didn't know any better. I didn't think about it. I was unaware of how much relative advantage I had received in this country as a white kid from Queens. Just because there were good intentions, it doesn't mean there weren't real negative consequences to the thing that I am accountable for. So, we're going to hold him to account for voice acting an Indian stereotype. I mean, it's worth pointing out that literally every single character on The Simpsons, since the show's inception until this very day, is a stereotype of something. Like, that's the whole thing that makes it funny. It's the thing that makes it worth watching. Every single thing. And so there's a part of me that's like, right, okay, so what you can do is say no Indian stereotypes now. Sorry, that's out. Oh, we can't have any of these stereotypes, any of those stereotypes. So what you're doing is, again, segregating, but you're also kind of making it seem like they're not really worthy of joining in on the fun. Nah, we can't have a laugh with you. We're not having a laugh with you. Sit over there, Indian. We're not going to... What's next? The black ones? Oh, we'll get to the black ones. But the point is, of course, that it's about deconstructing everything. We're deconstructing The Simpsons. And anyway, he says, I really do apologize. You know, I know you weren't asking for that, but it's important. I apologize for my part in creating and participating in that. Part of me feels I need to go around to every single Indian person in this country and personally apologize. Well, why only the ones in America, you white supremacist? Why not go to India and apologize to all the Indians that you offended by portraying an Indian on a cartoon?
Because, I mean, you can see him there when he says, I know you weren't asking for it. Yeah, no one was asking for this.
No one asked for this. No one, well, I mean, okay, one radical left-wing activist asked for this. And now you've completely capitulated. But what happens, though? What happens if they don't forgive you? What happens if they literally look you in the eye and go, Hank, you ruined me. You ruined my childhood. You... voicing Apu, even though Apu was one of the cool characters on The Simpsons anyway. But, like, even though, like, you know, you destroyed India, Hank. The British did a bad job, but you were worse. I don't know what to say. What happens if they don't accept the apology? Is it seppuku? Because that sounds like cultural appropriation. So, like, what are your options here, Hank?
Was Lynch himself? I don't know.
He probably does vote Democrat, so I mean,
yeah, you know, keeping it within the party.
Yeah, you know, then the Republicans will have to come along and abolish lynching again. So yeah, I don't know what he's going to do, but anyway, this of course all comes from a chap called Harry Kondabulu, who in 2017 made a documentary called "The Problem with Apu," and complained that basically he resembled that remark and he didn't like it. You know, I'm in this picture and I don't like it. That's basically how that went. And so he tweeted out afterwards saying, well, I welcome Hank Azari's apology, and it's a comeuppance. He says, the Apu controversy is not real. Racism isn't controversial. I'm glad we finally got to that point. It's constant. Unless you think people of color, capitalized, so now it's like in capital black, now it's capital people of color, standing up for themselves is controversial. However, I suppose a word like controversy is more clickable than comeuppance. Yes, I am also glad that this voice actor got his comeuppance. Now, comeuppance is usually the sort of word that is applied to someone like Scrooge, right? Like, Hitler got his comeuppance when the Russians stormed into Berlin. Good. As he deserves. Hank Azaria got his comeuppance for voicing a character on a TV show. Good. He got what he deserved. You see how all these things require a comeuppance.
One thing I have got in mind is the voice actors on The Simpsons are incredibly well paid.
Probably.
What's he going to do with all the money he earned for...
reparations. That's what he needs. That's a good point. Hank, if I find an Indian person who doesn't accept your apology, will you pay them reparations?
Because Ramveer is having a certain opinion right now.
In another tweet, he said that Azaria was kind and thoughtful, which proved that people are not simply products of their time, but have the ability to learn and grow. So if you totally submit, you are kind and thoughtful. Otherwise, you're a racist. In an interview on NPR last year, Azaria had announced that he's standing down from Apu because, as I said, this has been going on for a little while, with progressives on Twitter essentially nipping at their heels. And basically, the cast of The Simpsons appears to have gone totally woke. He said he realized after a lot of soul-searching and doing workshops and reading and talking to people, I think we'll call these struggle sessions, just to summarize them, he realized he had a blind spot or two when it came to this character. And he was speaking at his son's school, and the Indian kids were there who had never watched The Simpsons but knew what Apu meant. It was practically a slur at this point. They're called cultural stereotypes, Hank. Do you think that the Indians don't have them about the Americans? Because trust me, everyone has them about the Americans. We've all got really funny ones. Not very flattering often, but that's the point of banter, isn't it? You know, you take it on the chin. Azaria said he read and spoke to lots of people he knew about racism and spoke to lots of Indian people and went to seminars. I realised I had a date with destiny with this thing for 31 years. It's literally like Hitler in the bunker. Literally. It's like, Christ, the Russians are closing in.
They're going to find out what I've done.
The Fifth Army has been
voicing Apu all this time.
They're going to find the concentration camps. And yeah. The bit below from the BBC, John. Yeah. I've got a bit from the BBC afterwards. Yeah, not done. Don't worry. But yeah, the point is, Hank, you're a marked man and you couldn't keep getting away with it. You were the Sam Hyde of voice acting for 31 years, but finally you were brought to justice. Matt Groening this year, in fact, like 6 months ago, had told the BBC that the show was striving for inclusivity. Matt Groening, the guy who created all of these evil stereotypes, has realised that he's actually also bad. Because, I mean, he created Apu. It wasn't just Hank Azaria voicing him.
Yeah.
You like, created...
I assume all the guys in the writer's room also owe reparations.
They're all racists. They've all been implicated in this oppression and structural racism.
The Korean animators.
That the Simpsons created. And he announced last year that non-white characters would no longer be voiced by white actors, because that's the segregation at work. The black actor, Kevin Michael Richardson, would assume the role of Julius Hibbert, an African-American doctor, and because this was being done by the same guy who voiced Mr. Burns. Bigotry and racism are still an incredible problem, and it's good to finally go for more equality and representation, Groening said. All of our actors play dozens of characters each, and it was never designed to exclude anyone. No, that's wrong. It was designed to exclude everyone but your voice actors. Literally everyone on Earth was being excluded, apart from those people you'd hired to do the voices. Don't know why you say that. But anyway, Yeah, so this, going back to 25th of September 2020, the guy who voiced Carl Carlson, go back, John, the previous one. Sorry, the guy who voiced Carl Carlson literally got replaced by some guy with black skin, and that was the only reason.
Yeah, I noticed the voice changed.
I don't watch The Simpsons anymore.
Oh, I still like The Simpsons, but it's not the same. It's not Carl.
Well, it's gone woke. Yeah, but I mean, that's weird, isn't it? And they've made previous jokes about the fact that, you know, that can happen. But anyway, this was total cringe, as you can imagine. And I would feel like cringe if I were the actor taking over. I'd be like, right, so I'm going to voice this guy because he's black.
Because there's always this joke between comedians, especially, where it's like, I'm white, I can't say the N-word in my sketch. But what if I hire a black guy and then I can just point to him and he can say it? I mean, this is a more tepid version of that, where it's like, well, I don't want to be accused of racism, so I'm just going to bring on some diversity hire just to voice it. But doesn't matter if he's good at the job or not. It's just he's got black skin.
Yeah, but more importantly, have you ever seen Carl Carlson eating Caribbean food?
No, I don't think I have.
Have you ever seen him talking to another black person on the show?
Yeah, Dr. Hibbert.
Okay. Would you say they were friends?
Hard to tell. So.
He's more friends with Lenny, right?
Yeah.
Sits in Moe's bar, so he doesn't have any black friends. Hmm. So is Carl Carlson even really black?
Suppose not.
Checkmate, Simpsons. But one of the actors who voices Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, and Dr. Hibbert, the guy who obviously had to quit doing that, said, well, look, I have a very simple belief about acting. It's the job of the actor to play someone who they're not. That's the gig. That's the job description. I'm not a nuclear power plant owner. I'm not a Bible-believing Christian. And I'm not any of these people. And so I think there's a conflation between representation, which is important, and performance, which is playing the part you're not. So prepare to get cancelled.
It's almost like fiction is fictional.
It's almost like the people playing roles on TV are not really those roles. Mm. I mean, this has been a big and long time thing for ages, because there have been straight cisgendered actors who have played trans people or gay people, and they're like, well, hang on a second, my reparations, my representation. And it's like, okay, well, sorry, I guess you're just gonna have to sit this one out, famous actor who was chosen because people like you and you think you'd be a draw.
Yeah. So it only ever goes one way as well.
Of course it does. It's completely fine. Well, you say that, but actually Idris Elba is falling foul of this, because he got blackwashed into his position. And it's like, well, hang on, you're not black. And it's just like, what?
So is the same thing going to happen to the lady who's playing Anne Boleyn, who's black?
Maybe.
Not really black.
Doesn't eat Caribbean food?
Friends? No, never mind. She's white all along.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, okay, so we're going to have to undo all of the progressive blackwashing for representation that got us to this point.
Can she have any black friends in the series? Because, I mean, it's medieval England, so... I don't know.
Well, I mean, I suppose it depends if they're blackwashed any of the other characters.
The entire royal family.
The entire cast of the thing. He's like, well, and they're all there eating Caribbean chicken.
The BBC's like, this is how it's meant to be. I was like, okay. Didn't know the Nazis had taken over, but all right.
John Cleese took to Twitter and thankfully said something funny. Not wishing to be left behind by Hank Azaria, I would like to apologise on behalf of Monty Python for all the sketches we did making fun of white English people. We're sorry for any distress we may have caused. But the thing is, John, right, you are English, and so it's okay for you to play an English person mocking an English person because of that thing. But as we saw yesterday, one thing that you're not, John, is an ancient Israelite who was being oppressed by the Romans. So actually, you need to apologise to the Jews for pretending to be a Jew on The Life of Brian.
When was the last time you saw him eating hummus, huh?
Don't know. Does he have any... That's the point.
I just love how this is the standard now. Yeah. Have you eaten X food? Then you Jewish, black, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so no, I mean, yeah, I suppose if you're eating enough hummus, maybe you are a Jew, John. But I love hummus.
I think
the state
of Israel might have something to say about that.
Yeah, but that's the point. You know, don't apologize to the English, John. You are English. You're allowed to make fun of them, apparently, because that's literally everyone stay in their lane and drink from your own water fountains now. You know, don't. But anyway, but it was this tweet that I actually want to talk about with John, the next one, because he'd written this. So someone had replied to him saying, man, that wokeism is going too far, in my opinion, acting like the Ministry of Good Taste and Censorship and lacking a decent sense of humor, hashtag sarcasm, irony. And John Cleese says this: started out as a good idea, let's be nice to people, and ended and finished up as humorless, censorious, literal-minded, posturing idiocy. No, that's how it began. It was sold to you as a good idea, because it was never a good idea.
No, it was sold to you as good manners.
Yes, it was sold to you as good manners. It was sold to you under the pretense of a lie. You didn't do the work to interrogate exactly what you were being sold, but you knew at the time there was something a bit wrong about it, right? There's something a bit wrong when someone comes along and goes, well, he's a different race to you. Are you sure you can do that? You say, well, why shouldn't I be able to? If I can do that to a white person, then I should be able to do that to a black person, because otherwise I'm drawing a distinction between them based on their race, and that I would have called is racism. Yeah. And John Cleese, in his day, would have been able to say that and defend that, but now we're at the point where literally everything is being segregated, and John Cleese is like, well, I guess this started as a good idea. No, it didn't. It started as a terrible idea. It started as deeply illiberal and openly racial, and you just let it go under the radar.
I love how it's finished up as censorious, for example. It started off as censorious. Yeah. I mean, people literally saying to you, you can't say that, you can't read this, blah, yeah, blah, blah.
It started off as humorless, censorious. The only question is the power of it, how it's grown in scope. And it's grown in scope now to the point where literally the government is being controlled by it. So are armed forces, so are all the TV, so are all the famous and well-loved, you know, absolutely beloved cartoon series and TV series of our youths. Like, what is left untouched by wokeism? And the answer to that is South Park. South Park is the last place that hasn't cucked to wokeism. And one day it will.
Nah.
Better not.
It'll be cancelled before they
cucked
it.
Don't get me wrong, I love
the Man South- Trey Parker are never going
to
accept it.
They better not. They better not, right? And I swear to God, if one day they do, I'm going to be actually personally angry about it. You know, because I love South Park, I love Matt Stone and Trey Parker, and so, like, if they ever actually do cuck to wokeism, I'm gonna be like, with the Simpsons, yeah, I kind of expect it. Of course they are, of course they're gonna, of course they are. John Cleese, yeah, of course he's gonna be like, yeah, well, it was a good idea, you know. But if Matt Stone and Trey Parker do, I'm gonna actually be like, damn it.
Because that's the thing as well, like, Simpsons is a very corporate entity, whereas South Park, for example, is just the two guys.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's a whole bunch of people who do the animation or whatever these days, but it really is the creation of the two guys. Yeah. I mean, they do almost every voice.
Yes. So. And they also had something special, right? They had something that was genuinely funny, like, totally off the wall, and it created its own little pocket universe where it's like, yeah, it's okay to do this because it's South Park. And so the whole thing is just Jew jokes, the whole thing. But it's always in the framework that Kyle's getting one over on Cartman.
Yeah.
So all Cartman can do is just complain about him being a Jew.
I mean, it's the only show where you can have a main character sing about how there's too many minorities in the scene he's in. And everyone just agrees this is fine because he's meant to be the bad guy anyway. So who cares?
Exactly. It was actual genius. But yeah, so everything is being ruined by wokeism, as usual. And now it's The Simpsons. But I wonder what Hank Azaria's punishment is going to be. Does he not need
it's
a public
be reparations.
Fine?
I mean, Ranveer needs some money, and he's got some, and he's offended Indians, so...
There are a lot of Indians who need money.
There are a lot of them.
Well, why not? What's
actually, that's kind of a problem. Everyone's going to end up with like $2 by the end of this.
Not my problem. It's his $2. I'm not giving out any reparations.
No. I mean, every Indian will end up with $2 because there's like, what was it, a billion people living in India?
Yeah,
something
but
like
that's
that.
Hank's $2. That's $2 more than they had. Fork it over, Hank.
Net win. All right, let's go for the video comments.
Yeah. And that does also imply.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, what is this bullshit? I don't like this.
Happy birthday to Callum. Happy birthday to you.
Woo! Hooray!
Come on.
I'll take celebrations well.
Oh, come on, guys.
Hey!
Happy birthday.
No one else can use it. What's wrong with it?
Come on, boys.
I wonder what all the goddamn like messing around behind the set was.
See, the Indian guy gets the bad one.
Well, don't worry, you're owed $2, so you'll get paid back.
I'm gonna make a wish.
You're not allowed to tell us it though.
Yeah. Hurry up before
you think you don't want to know what it is.
Yeah.
Yay.
Unfortunately, you're not allowed to eat the cake because it's not keto friendly.
I thought you'd buy a keto cake, to be honest.
No, it's just for display purposes only.
We're going to put it in a case now. Yeah.
So yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
You're going to have to tidy all this up, though.
We'll do it after the show.
Yeah, let's go for it.
In 2019, Idris Elba did an interview with Vanity Fair in which he said, "I don't want to be the first black Bond." Well, can he play Bond now that the BBC has declared him not black enough?
You're in, Idris. Yep. You're in. You know, it was looking pretty dicey there. Because, and to be honest with you, I think Idris Elba would have been a good Bond, to be honest. But I can see why he would have that position. But now that he is officially a member of the white race, yeah, do it. Just don't eat any Caribbean food.
As soon as he eats it, off the show.
Idris, no!
Like the movie we set in the Caribbean, but just endlessly he's just refusing food.
But it's so spicy and delicious. Right, let's get to the next one.
Lotus Eaters, just like a few other people, I wanted to show you my workshop. Well, not my real workshop, that's in my bedroom with my 3D printer. But out here, I have the main stuff I use. It's EVA foam, it's nice and malleable. I can build lots and lots of props out of this. I'm into cosplay, so I used to go to events, well, not allowed now. But I can build stuff like this, Master Chief's helmet. Or, for example, something which you two might like, a full-size Space Marine.
I hate
that. That is amazing.
That is awesome. I've always seen those on YouTube. I've always wondered how you get them. I assume it's all wood. Because I don't know how
it's going to be plastic, isn't it?
Plastic, yeah, that would work.
But, like, honestly, how awesome... Like, so many people are so lucky they get to build things. I didn't get to build anything. I bought a few years ago. I went to one of the sort of English heritage sites. And in the shop, they did these little trebuchet, mini trebuchet kits. And it's great, except it's like 8 years and above. And so I've still got 2 years. I have to wait till I can do it with my boy. It's pissing me off. It's been there for three. I've had it for ages. And I really want to build this trebuchet.
I think those things are only advisory. They're not enforced by law.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean...
Why run the risk?
Yeah, that's the point. Why run the risk?
Police advice and virtue are going to bust down your door.
It's not that. I'm worried about him, like, breaking something or choking or something.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one.
Died near the South Side Railroad on Sunday, April 9th, 1865. The Southern Confederacy, aged 4 years, conceived in sin, born in iniquity, nurtured by tyranny, died of a chronic attack of punch. Abraham Lincoln, attending physician, U.S. Grant, undertaker, and Jeff Davis, chief mourner. Epitaph. Gentle stranger, drop a tear. The CSA lies buried here. In youth it lived and prospered well, but like Lucifer it fell. Its body here, its soul, and, well, even if I knew I wouldn't tell. Rest, CSA, from every strife. Your death is better than your life, and this one line shall grace your grave. Your death gave freedom to the slave.
But enough about Democrats' history, which is not even a joke. Like, what's going on there?
I don't understand what that was about, to be honest.
No, neither.
The Captain Doombeer did. He took me up my offer yesterday. I sent him a link to the Very Hungry Caterpillar, and he actually did the audiobook for it. So I've now got an audiobook version of The Very Hungry Caterpillar. I'm not even sure what to do with it.
Well, we can't publish it because it's copyrighted. I guess you put it out on Twitter.
He could probably self-publish it as... well, actually, audiobooks are a public domain work because... because the audio itself is your work.
Yeah, but if it's of a copyrighted work, I think they'll probably be able to get you.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to check that out, but I suppose it's his content, I guess.
I wouldn't take the risk.
Anyway. But thanks for that. That made my day, as well as this making my evening. What? I was not expecting this. Anyway, let's go for some of the written comments.
Zenchan says, when will we see the Project Veritas release hidden camera footage of Carl wolfing down bread and relishing it? Never. Never. Because I have been nothing if not virtuous about my resistance to bread.
Come on, give it a smell.
No, I don't know. I know what it smells like. It smells like vice.
But it's kind of the thing, I know what you mean when you say the other day that at this point sugar kind of smells wrong as well.
Yeah.
Isn't proper.
Yeah. It smells wrong. Sorry, I'm going to get my shame bell up.
Well, you have a shame bell?
No, you have a shame bell.
What?
I just ring it. Shame. In fact.
We need a board.
We need a soundboard, don't we? Yeah, so never, because I've been a good boy. Unlike anyone who thinks that this is what I do, that's your guilty conscience coming back to bite you. Michael Waters says, wahaha, listening to CNN bro struggle with explaining his own doublethink is hilarious. You can watch it in real time, the struggle. The man is bound to end up in the Ministry of Love. Yeah, honestly, I couldn't believe how incoherent and like struggling for articulation the guy was. Because you'd think that being working in media, he would have a fairly good idea of the things that he was dealing with and he would be pretty much on the ball. But it's like, no, you can become the technical director of CNN and be a fucking idiot. So there we go.
I'm surprised he's that high with a partner in his life as well. Because that's one of the things. I mean, even when...
I'm not surprised he's single. I mean, look at him. He looks like an idiot.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Never mind.
But S.H. Silver says, so they care about more about individuals and not the racial groups when it comes to Asian hate crimes when it's black perpetrators. I love it, but the very nature of it is essentially appealing to the group, isn't it? But then project the idea of hate towards groups, towards the conservatives, who think they would react the same to individual stories with black and Asian crime in the same way that leftists react to individual instances of white on Asian crime. He's not incoherent, he's just confessing through projection. Good point. TF Allspark says, after all the good work done by Project Veritas, I have an idea for a new measurement of intelligence. Smart, CNN is scared of you. Average, CNN won't invite you. Dumb, CNN will invite you. Brainlet, CNN makes you a recurring guest. What do you think?
Richard Spencer.
I think no. I think Brainlet is CNN makes you an anchor. So, Don Lemon.
Literally, you're perfect.
Just saying you should feel personally attacked. Ryan Batson says, I've been looking at this whole CNN expose from a different angle. How does this guy think that that describing how dishonest and deceitful he is will result in a trusting relationship with anyone? He's just giving her reasons not to trust him. Yeah, but then he is single and looking for dates on Tinder.
I suppose the thing in his mind as well, no matter what he said, he will be set for life with CNN now. Like, there's no way they're going to get rid of him. There's no reason to.
So he's a liability. I'd be getting rid of him at the first opportunity.
They don't really see it like that. I think they see it as like, well, there's no way you can go and work for the Republicans or whatever, so you're sort of stuck here. And if they just stonewall, we don't care. I mean, what is going to happen? They're not going to get bust. They've got gangbusters of money.
Yeah, no, it's not that easy, though, because it's hard to measure reputational damage. And that is what this guy has done. And so in the immediate short term, nothing will appear to have happened. But in 5 years' time, if they've noticed that there's just generally a lowering of the ratings because the view is that CNN is full of liars who push racial agendas, then he will have done his damage.
I would agree if this was AP or something like that. Mm-hmm. But because CNN has debauched itself over the last ten years, it's sort
Fair.
Of like, who cares?
Fair.
Like, okay. they are openly all like that. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's just nice to get it.
Them going one of us.
Heathcliff says, all hail Kemi. We really need to support her whenever we can. She's up against the cabal of lunatics with only soft-brained Tories to help. That's true. Lodeseater's official Twitter mob when? I don't use Twitter. You tell me.
Sorry.
Have we got like a Lotus emoji you can put in your bio?
Not that I can think of. I can take a look.
Yeah, go fun. Side note, women's period tracking apps are now apparently transphobic. Of course they're transphobic. Not all women have periods. In fact, that's a true statement anyway, to be honest. Some not all people with penises are women. Because you guessed it, they assume the person using actually menstruates. But the thing is, older women don't menstruate, and they're still women. Trans women are having trouble finding an app which they can use to track their imaginary periods.
What?
I mean, yes, they probably are. Maybe there's a market for this. Alexander Schoberg, I can't pronounce a Swedish name. What am I supposed to do? Me and White Supremacy sounds like a South African children's book. Awesome Wells says, my female Nigerian boss recently had some very patronizing things to say about Kemi Badenoch on our company intranet during a remarkable discussion about systemic racism, in which I was told in no uncertain terms that it is real and any arguments to the contrary are themselves racist. I have screenshots of this fiasco. My suspicion is that my boss is insanely jealous of Miss Badenoch because she is a fellow Nigerian immigrant who has achieved far higher status and hasn't reduced herself to the level of a victim. What do I know? What I do know is that anti-racism training is real and it is coming to my office very soon. I'll be putting all my fingers down on principle. Well, good luck.
All 13 of them.
Oh, man. Edward of Woodstock, anti-racism, in which you are taught to discriminate positively towards minorities and change your natural thought process for an artificial one. Rather than treat everyone as you would anyone else, you have to go through your little checklist, see how nice you should be to them. We've come so far, I would say, even for the most part, the average child would have grown up without seeing colour as anything but an aesthetic. In a bid for equality, we seem to have lost a beautiful innocence where we did, in fact, judge by the content of character. Yes, that's the problem, though, because if you've noticed that all of these woke activists are absolute pieces of shit. That's the problem they have. They are bad people. All of them. All of the socialists. All of these people who sit in there and appeal to some high-minded ideal for their political advocacy. Like, oh, you know, we can create a workers' utopia or whatever it is. Yeah, you're a piece of shit. Just come out and say it. I get it. You know, you can't appeal to anything you personally have done. You can't appeal to your own innate qualities or an innate character where you say, look, I'm good. I think these things. I do these things. No, because you don't. You're a bad person. And therefore,
they're making up for it.
Exactly. You're making up for it. You need revolution because that will wash away your sins in absolution. That's what you're doing. You're bad people.
It's the thing, I think Douglas Murray made this point as well, which is just, you know, what skeletons has he got in his closet? Mm-hmm. The one who's virtue signaling on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you can see this in all the revolutionary governments, like the books we've been reading.
Yep.
I'm currently on, Gulag Archipelago, mm-hmm. and there's a great section in there in which he's talking about interrogation. So they bring a bunch of people in for the interrogation, and he tells you about how all the different people react. And he was talking about party members, so them, when they get brought in, hardcore communists, they'll whisper in each other's ears, it's our duty, comrades. It's our duty to say that we did it, even though it's a false confession. Mm. You know, we have to do it for the party. And they'll just openly sign the letter and get shot. Yeah. It's just they'll happily, you know, throw their people in there and let them get shot. They know on false pretenses just because it's part of the movement. I mean, awful people.
This was one of the things about the Bolsheviks, in fact, that everyone at the time knew that the Bolsheviks were literally criminals. Like literal criminals, you know, like murderers, you know, thieves, rapists, you know.
You fire a gun into a crowd of Bolsheviks and you get the same reaction as...
Yeah, exactly. You hit a pedo, you know. It's like, it's unironically, these are the scum of society getting unionized around the idea of a socialist redemption. Hmm. It's like, sorry, there's no redeeming you. You're scum. That's why you're a socialist. Lee Burdett says, only 10, 15 years ago when I was in primary school, they used to teach us about privilege, but nothing about race privilege. They taught that we were privileged to grow up in such a good country. The black kids in the class, the Asians, the white kids, we were all privileged as one another to live in such a great country. The tune started to change towards race around 2013, just before I finished high school. I can't imagine what kind of racist nonsense they're teaching kids nowadays. Yes. Luke says, they have found the perfect way of maintaining a white supremacy by defining a white person as anyone who succeeds. And then Matt Blurt, Kemi Badenoch, white. Yeah, I mean, that's what they've done.
Priti Patel, white.
Yep.
All of them.
Bilbo Swaggins, all of Africa, white.
We are at that position. I mean, all of the Caribbean is now also, well, actually, they eat Caribbean food, so... Oh, damn, we found the one place where people aren't white anymore.
By definition, no matter what the Caribbeans eat, it's Caribbean food.
The progressives have finally demanded that there is one part of the world that isn't white, and it's the Caribbean, and that's it. But as long as you eat Caribbean food. I can see you trying to make a joke.
No, I'm trying to resist making a joke. There are so many jokes that would get me in so much trouble. Ash says, John Cleese, telling it how it is, what a legend. I grew up watching The Simpsons every day, and I still love the light entertainment that pokes fun at all of us. Every character is an exaggeration and stereotype, and frankly, that's why it's funny. The professionally offended are ruining all of our fun. That's true. John Cleese is a treasure. Well, you say that, right? But he is kind of insufferable when it comes to the Conservatives. I mean, I'm not really a fan of the Conservatives. But
he's a Lib Dem.
Exactly.
So
what are the options? The Lib Dems or Labour?
And I don't know what it was like when he first joined. Like, have you seen his adverts he used to do for them?
Not a fan.
Yeah, but it's like 80s or whatever. Yeah. So politics is massively different. But he seems to have, like, put his colours to the mast, and now he's sort of stuck with whatever nonsense comes out. God. And that party full-on brought into everything.
Feel free to define a woman at your leisure, Mr. Cleese. Yeah. John Cleese is a treasure. Monty Python really took a swing at wokeness even back in the 80s. Just look at the I Want to Be a Woman, What Have the Romans Ever Done for Us scenes in The Life of Brian. My question to you is, what are your favourite John Cleese scenes from any movie or series? Probably the that I Want to Be a Woman one. Yeah.
I'd say the King Arthur one, where he walks in and he's like, oh, who runs this place? And they're like, we're an autonomous collective.
Well, that's the thing. It's Eric Idle that's really like, it's not Eric Idle that's the funny one, but it's John Cleese's very sort of austere appearance and very, like, you know, proper English sort of rightness and correctness, and then Eric Idle being weird and with a whiny voice in the background. Like, that is that dichotomy that made it so funny. But it's symbolic of his struggle against reality. Love it. As a rule, cartoons usually have no more than 10 cast members voicing various characters. So to demand that absolutely everybody be represented in a show like The Simpsons, then complain when some of them are voiced by an actor who doesn't share the characteristics, is just plain dumb. That's correct, Natalie. To have it their way, each character group would have to have their own actor, and that's pretty unrealistic for a cartoon production to have to go through, and that would cost an insane amount of money, which it would. I'm going to keep going. Mr. Wint says, the Simpsons episode where Homer tried to prevent Bart from being gay is hilarious. He ends up taking his son to a metal factory where the men there work hard and play hard. Hilarious bigotry, 10 out of 10. Also, please read Ayn Rand's Anthem for the 1984 discussion. It's a neglected piece of dystopian socialist literature, and it really helps expand the ideas neither Orwell nor Huxley firmly state. Okay.
Look it up.
Regarding voice actors, Cleveland from Family Guy was voiced by a white guy who stepped down saying persons of color should play characters of color. That's right. So, by the same standard, an American who plays a British prime minister, such as, didn't an American woman play Margaret Thatcher?
I don't know, but probably.
Pretty sure that she did.
Was it Iron Lady or something?
No, no, yeah, it was Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. She played Margaret Thatcher. Totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. What is this bigotry? Gillian Anderson, I really enjoyed you in X-Files, but please stop oppressing me. This is my culture, my people, and, you know.
You don't eat our food.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't eat our food, you're clearly racist. But this is the thing, isn't it? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, right? Anyway, Dylan says, all of the other Simpsons cast members need to apologize to everyone with severe jaundice because they don't have skin as yellow as the characters they voice. True. And for Callum's birthday, we have lots of comments. That's nice. How old are you now, Callum?
Fuck. 24?
24.
Wow. There we go. Sorry, I had to think about that.
Okay. Did you just, like, get the date of birth and then work for
it? I'm very bad on birthdays. I don't know why.
Problem Child says, me, oh wow, the birthday surprise is really wholesome. Carl, you still have to clean all this up. Yeah, he's definitely a dad. Happy birthday, Callum. Holy cow, the look of uncomfort on his face is worth the premium sub. Good. Happy birthday, Callum, says Twisted Frenzy. Sonnet says, now that was a great cringe face, Callum. Michael Waters says, happy birthday, Callum. And Brian Allman says, is that a keto-friendly birthday steak? The answer is no, I'm very disappointed in John.
Do you want us to go buy you a steak?
I wanted John to go buy me a steak. Alexander says, I would also be interested in a podcast about Section 127. I forwarded the petition to a friend of mine to sign. He was pretty taken aback by his negative reaction to my supporting the petition. He is a policeman as well. We should probably do something on Section 127.
Yeah, I can probably just... I'll figure out a way to use the video I made.
Well, what was wrong with the footage in it?
It was just a worry about copyright because I don't own every single piece in there, but I could just put it out as public domain under my name shortly.
Yeah, but why can we not...
Because you don't own... so I use like clips of a thing that you can't use without a license.
Is it not fair use if we're using them?
No, because it's not commentary on the thing itself.
Okay, we'll just replace them with something we do own.
We'll do something, yes.
Alexander says, I'm officially under investigation in my college in Maryland for questioning the questions because in my mandatory diversity course, they asked us how we could defeat the wage gap, and as you can imagine, I questioned the presupposition before answering. Punishments range from a written warning to expulsion or legal charges. How should I deal with this? I just want to get my stupid computer science degree and leave.
God, what country are you in?
Well, he's in America.
Well, they can't do legal charges for that.
See where it goes, I guess. But, how should he deal with this? So you've got a few options. You can say, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm completely compliant to the party's wishes, and long live Big Brother. You could... back down, but not make a full retraction, and try and go off with a warning or perhaps something like that. You could double down and say, you know what, get bent, expel me, you bigots, and then probably end up facing whatever legal charges could be produced from that. It's up to you. I mean, if you want to get your stupid computer science degree, I would just take the L, to be honest. I'd just be like, oh, fine. If you're going to tyrannize me, I guess I'll just accept that, in fact, you know, women are inferior and they need to work longer hours and we need to figure out a way of conscripting them against their will.
Stunning and brave position. Mm. And then go on to fight it in the later part of your life, I assume.
Yes, and then go on to fight it in the later part of your life.
What I've always wanted to see, but it hasn't happened yet, is one of these cases, you know, like, who is it? Lindsay something at the Canadian University for showing Jordan Peterson videos.
Lindsay Shepherd.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I'd really love to see them do it televised, the apology, and just take Otto Warmbier's apology from him in North Korea apologizing for stealing the painting, yeah, and just reword it like the hoax guys. Ooh. And reword it with a progressive language, yeah, and then do the same thing with the same animations, and then be like, now what?
Yeah.
You're going to reject their apology.
But the point is, They are not only in control of the institutions, they also hate you, and they will use the full force of any power that they have at their possession to hurt you and your career prospects and your future. So basically, if you're near to getting your degree and you really want to get it, it might be worth just keeping your head down and getting it, and then supporting non-woke projects in your career afterwards. But again, it's up to you. George Windsor says, it's my 45th birthday. Well, happy birthday, George. Can I get a happy birthday for a longtime fan, Keto Bro, and room cleaning ex-lobster man? Yes, you can. Happy birthday. Josh says, hi guys, I'm a new subscriber. I love being white-pilled by you guys. I was listening to the podcast the other day about the woman in the village, and as I can say, as someone who grew up in a small village, after a few years in a city for university, it's really made me appreciate the village and the great English countryside. Keep up the great content, and happy birthday, Callum. Well, thank you very much, Josh. Tom says, I want to go back to yesterday's segment on the racism hoaxes. Not gonna lie, I spat my drink all over my desk, keyboard, and monitor when Callum did his impersonation. Bruh, issue a trigger warning or something first. But isn't it kind of sad, honestly, that the black guy got gaslighted by the mostly white woke mob into wanting to martyr himself for racial justice? As I said, it truly has a religious aspect. This is why the cathedral is a metaphor that sticks.
I'm trying to think of even an equivalent that could exist in the Republican sphere.
Republicans don't tend to create a lot of martyrs.
But it's not, you know, victim worshipping, is it? So there's
It's martyrdom.
Yeah.
Like, he wants the police to come out, kill him for being black, so he can be used in place of George Floyd as a political weapon, which is insane.
And the commentator is correct. It's horrible that the left-wing part of American politics can create that kind of situation.
We create martyrs. Join Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be killed by the police for our system? I was like, God, no.
Awful, awful thing that they do. But anyway, it's just going to be another one of those things that in 100 years' time, the Democrats are going to be cringing and embarrassed and apologizing for.
And claiming the Republicans did
and
it the whole time.
Claiming the Republicans did, yeah, exactly.
BLM, Republicans.
Yeah, literally. You
know, BLM, white.
Yeah, it's going to be the Republicans did this. We changed platforms. Oh, yeah, sure you did. But anyway, Ignacio says, what can be done to defend against fortified elections? Oh, that's a great, great question. In Madrid, we are having regional elections soon, and I fear we will be fortified with mail voting to oust the Conservatives out of the government. Have a good day, guys. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I think the left has lost any moral inhibitions at this point and been like, actually, if we just fortify everything, we can do everything and we can have the revolution that we're after. And so we'll just do that. We've got no moral problem.
If you only worship power, what would stop you?
Exactly. If power is the only legitimizing factor, why wouldn't you do that? This is the same with, like, Joe Biden. Like, he's about to try and start stacking the Supreme Court. Joe Biden doing this, Joe Biden doing that. It's like, they just don't care. They're just going to change everything. You know, like, they're going to make mail-in voting, like, the federal level and things like this. So it's all fortified. It's like, okay.
Make it the norm.
Yeah.
That's the end goal. I never knew this when
corruption here or now.
When we did our segment on it, but the fact that mail-in voting is, you know, as a large-scale thing, is incredibly new.
Yeah, it's restricted.
But the fact that it was like in 2% or 3% of the vote right up until like the 90s, 2000s, then all of a sudden it just exponential growth in the amount it's used. It's like, okay, no, this can't be the case. I don't see how mail-in votes should be enough to decide the elections.
It's because they know that it can be manipulated. That's why. And the funny thing, I love the fact that the Amazon union got voted down by the workers.
Yeah. Do you see that? They made a video about that, complaining that the Amazon vote had taken place and mysteriously boxes had turned up at certain points that were all mail-in and they were all against our side and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, how could the union been screwed over like this? And then they posted a video saying all this to Twitter and YouTube. And then Twitter and YouTube did nothing. Because criticizing the elections when it doesn't go a certain way for a certain side, that's fine. But if you're on the wrong side of the argument, then you're spreading misinformation. I hate that.
I just love the way they're like, we can fortify a lot of elections. You know, we don't.
Amazon's just, like,
we don't have to just fortify these ones. We can fortify all of them. You know, and so.
I mean, where was Jeff Bezos donating his money for the election in 2020, huh?
How did Jeff Bezos feel about the Amazon union?
No, but I mean, like,
it went to the Democrats, obviously.
So.
I just find it really interesting. Really interesting how it's fortified elections from here on out.
It's fortified all the way down.
Yeah, Solomon, don't have any standards.
we're going to have to do a podcast of that at some point, but I don't know how.
We'll do a premium podcast about standards.
Yeah.
Solomon says CBS 60 Minutes ran a report on DARPA's underskin microchip detecting when you get a COVID infection. Yes. So this was another one of those Alex Jones was right moments where they literally came out and said, well, we'll give you a microchip to detect when you got COVID. And Alex Jones was like in the distance, I told you, you know.
Wasn't there also like people, I think, came out the same time was China's working on getting organs from monkeys or something?
Yep. Monkey-human hybrids.
Alex Jones just having a great week.
Yep. In today, in Scientists Are Bad People.
And Alex Jones is the only true person.
Well, he's at least not wrong. Hmm. I mean, how's he? Anyways, between new Nevada laws enabling the formation of megacorporations by allowing them to define local law and the normalization of what inevitably becomes mandatory implanting, the West is taking major strides towards a dystopian cyberpunk future. I, for one, welcome our Araska overlords. Yeah, we are getting there. Really getting there. Not happy about it. Michael says, hey, guys and gal, want to say you're all doing amazing work. Thank you. Keep it up. Have you or Callum by chance read The Road or seen the film adaptation? The film is amazing. I'd recommend it. It is a must watch for any father. Possible future book club on it. I think I've seen it. Didn't have Viggo Mortensen, or the guy who played Aragorn in it? I think I've seen it. It was like
Nicolas Cage, Meryl Streep.
They end up... Maybe I'm thinking of a different film.
Maybe I've got the wrong film. I just typed in adaptation and it's the first thing that's come up.
I'm sure it was about cannibals or something. Post-apocalyptic cannibals.
Yeah, well, I'll look at it afterwards.
Okay, fine. Kevin Fox says, let's take it the whole way along. Main leading movie roles about Scottish characters. Highlander, Conor McLeod, played by Christopher Lambert. Definitely not Scottish. Braveheart, William Wallace, played by an Australian. Definitely not Scottish. Rob Roy, Rory McGregor, played by Liam Messing. I thought it was... I don't know who that is, but not Scottish. Then we have Sean Connery, Highlander, played an Egyptian. Hunt for Red October, played a Russian. The Untouchables, played an Irish-American, although, to be fair, that was closest. Why not?
But they're all Celtic, and therefore they're all black.
What, the Egyptian?
So, no, all the Celts are black now, according to the standards we had.
Sean Connery is now black.
Standards.
We're going to have to explain that joke at some point.
Yeah. Well, it's not ready for it yet.
It's not ready for it yet, but it will be. There's nothing wrong with them. James Deegan says, what's your general response to the individuals, groups that state that cancel culture is a myth and that is used as a propaganda by the right? I've got a good response to this. I sort of feel like the left are living in another world of delusion and lies. Will they ever wake up over the coming years? And I always say, well, what does Donald Trump have to say about it? Seriously. Let's ask Donald Trump. Oh, we'll check his Twitter feed. We'll check his Facebook. We'll check his YouTube. Can't get hold of him. Weird. Don't know what he's thinking about things anymore. So that's how you know. The president of the USA got cancelled, man. Like, anyone who says you can't cancel me is not operating in good faith. Mm. And you know that. White Hot Peppers. Hey, dude. Sorry, guys. You haven't heard from me from a while. Been getting home from DC. I need to get away from all technology and social media. And I went and hid in the wood for a few weeks. Feels so much better and much more collected. Sorry for the absence. That sounds fun, to be honest. Just chilling out in the woods. Carl, you son of a bitch. You made me have baby fever. That segment you did on Katie Glass got to me so much. I had a dream about giving birth to a beautiful son and raising him for 4 or 5 months. Well, you got to raise him for more than 4 or 5 months, mate. but
Jesus, so I mean, yeah. If you're going to end it at that point, don't.
It felt so real. I was so happy. And I woke up this morning. I felt like a piece of my life was taken away from me. Oh, my God. I miss a child that doesn't even exist. My boyfriend of 10 years and I are looking at a house today to try and buy it. Good luck. Wish me luck. Well, I just did. We are planning on getting married next summer. And you guys are definitely invited to our wedding if your stupid lockdown is over. It's not that the lockdown isn't over. The lockdown is basically over now. It's just we're not allowed to leave the country.
Well, it's not even that. Inside activities are still forbidden as well.
Some are, yeah. But compared to what it was, I mean, I feel...
Yay. Go sit outside in the cold and drink now.
Would you like to sit outside in a group of no more than six while it snows? Yeah. Which it did. On the day that lockdown was like, you go outside, but it is snowing. It's like, oh.
Thanks, Boris.
Yeah. We are only 23, 24, and definitely not financially ready for a child, but I want children now. God damn it. Love you a lot. Thanks, guys. Don't worry about it so much. It's like don't expect there to be have to be everything. You'll make do. Right, that's it.
Yeah, we're out of time. So we will be back Monday 1 o'clock because we'll do weekends. But there will be content, I believe, going up on the Lotus Eaters channel, not the Lotus Eaters podcast, but we have a second channel where we do. I think it's Contemplations will be going up over the weekend with Josh and Hugo. Josh. So check that out. Otherwise, we have lots of premium content coming up, and we need to record, well, you need to go and record a podcast about Hunter Biden.
Yeah, so you need to tidy all this up.
Oh, God. Going to have a continuity error. But... anyway.
Yeah, we got loads of great premium content. It's all there, and there will be more coming. So sign up, support us, help us grow. And yeah, at the end of the month, we're going to have Bo Dade joining us permanently as a full-time member of staff. 26th of April, hopefully. So that's going to be great. Loads of great premium history content coming. I'm totally excited for it. I don't know what we're going to do first either. The question is like, you know, he's like, well, what do you want to start? It's like,
you've got to do the 100 Years War because you've been beefing this up so much. I want to know what happened.
I will, but because we were doing the Bigfoot thing, I ended up reading The Voyage of Hanno the Navigator, who's a Carthaginian explorer who went around Africa like 2,500 years ago. It's amazing. So I really want to do that now. But anyway, there's loads of great stuff coming. Sign up. We'll see you there.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Well, see you Monday.